Smokey. Show them. That's silly. Shoot him now! Shoot him now!
I gotcha!
Meet me, Zip Tang, everyone, and welcome to That's Not Quite All, folks, the Lean Tunes podcast. I'm your host, Mark Hallam, and I'm joined by...
I'm Jordan, and I want to kill you. Folks, remember when the episode after the movie episode would just be a really enjoyable selection of three really good cartoons and not a complete wild goose chase of a episode involving a bunch of really badly put together ones? Who even curates this show anyway?
Hi. Hello.
Yes.
Hello there. Okay. So that was the intention.
Yeah, sure.
That was the Jess's intention, is that there was this pilot that was cut into three shorts. I'm thinking, three shorts. Great. That's what we do. We do three shorts.
Yeah,
and
that was your fatal flaw.
Oh,
sure, it'll be easy to cut up into an episode. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Okay, so let's just break it down here. So what we're doing The Adventures of Roadrunner TV pilot. It was made in 1962 as a potential series that Warner Bros. Animation could do, because the Bugs Bunny show happened in, you know, like around the early 50s. That was really successful. So it's like, you know what? Let's do that, but with the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, and we'll get Chuck Jones and Michael Maltese. Hell, we'll get the Warner Bros. Animation unit. We'll get the entire unit in to do this TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It was Marvel making Disney Plus TV shows before it was cool.
Yeah.
You know? The idea of using your top-tier studio to make content for a different medium that wasn't the big screen.
Yeah.
That's what this was.
And yet, somehow it doesn't get picked up, which is odd to me. Now, I mean, look, the content of this alone, you know, as you know, a pilot itself is, I mean, befitting of a pilot. But, like, was it so much to contend with the Hanna-Barbera's and the Filmations and the cheaper animation of the time and not go with animators and story people that were actually good and not too cheap? Boggles the mind.
It really does boggle the mind. Because with the Bugs Bunny show, they just animated segments.
Yeah.
You know, segments that tied into the shorts put in the episode. So, but that was still, I mean, decent quality. I don't think it was the exact same quality as like a Warner Bros. Cartoon, but it was still pretty good for the time.
Yeah.
So, as for why we're so annoying. So, okay. So, again, it's like, oh, it's three shorts. The pilot, it didn't do so well. So they cut up into three shorts. It was cut up into To Beep or Not To Beep, Roadrunner A Go-Go, and Zip Zip Hooray.
But that's not all, folks. Because in the midst of this pilot, they put in a prestige short from the golden age that they felt like they wanted to showcase as a means of potentially having other characters to sort of go into, like the Pink Panther series that would eventually happen. Obviously, it hadn't happened yet because it was 1962. But it was a chance to showcase other people that they could potentially do. And they just put in From A to Z, which was the first Ralph... what's his fucking last name?
Ralph Phillips.
The first Ralph Phillips short. And so, okay, now we're at four, which is fine. We can do four.
So, yeah, we're doing four this week.
Yeah.
And we thought, okay, that's fine. So, literally the night before we record,
yeah.
I'm watching the pilot, and I messaged Jordan, like, oh, but by the way, there's a fourth short in here. They put the entirety of From A to Z in here. Do we want to do that? You say, yes, let's do that. Let's do four. I'm like, awesome. how the hell do we talk about this? Because unlike the compilation films that we just included, this pilot isn't a clear-cut thing. It's a singular story for 30 minutes. It's a singular 30-minute thing that they cut up into three different shorts. And how they cut it up was...
wrong.
Wrong. Because we curate these things, and we like very simplistic. This is a short, this is a short, this is a short. But instead what we got is we got one short that has the opening of this pilot and the ending of this pilot put together as one short. Okay, that fucks with things. Then we have another short where it just takes an opening segment from the beginning of the pilot, which we'll get into, and made that a short. And then another short took the catapult section of the pilot and made that its own short. So they took this pilot, made three different shorts, and they don't connect in the slightest, but sometimes they do connect in the slightest. Also, and for some reason, From A to ZZZ is also here. So, as you can tell, it was incredibly confusing nailing down a schedule for this week.
Yeah. It changed, I think, three times over a 5-minute period last time.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Now look, I mean, because usually when we're setting up this show, it's like pro wrestling. We're like, okay, you're going to do this, then I'm going to do this, and then he's going to do this. We set up, okay, you're doing this cartoon, Mark, you're doing this cartoon, then we both come in on this one. And it's usually really cut and dry. I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing. Going into this, I know exactly how to prepare. I needed several pointers to really figure out how I was going to prepare for this episode because it's so badly organized. It's so oddly... It's... This was an infuriating one for a number of reasons.
It was infuriating. Yeah, so... Here's the order in how we're going to talk about this. It's not perfect, but it's close enough to how the original pilot went. Because we're not going to be just look at the pilot and grade it as a pilot.
No.
Because
that's not the whole point here.
That's not the point. We are a short-oriented show. Yeah. We're going to get to TV productions eventually, but we're not there yet. He says, as this is a TV production. Anyways... So here's what we're doing. We're going to cover Roadrunner A-Go-Go, followed by Zip Zip Hooray, followed by From A to ZZZ, and we conclude with To Beep or Not To Beep.
And this order is very difficult because To Beep or Not To Beep was released earliest of at least the Roadrunner ones. And... is sort of sets up the other two in some ways. And so it's confusing to cover the first two first and then end. You know, I don't even care anymore. We're doing it this way.
Neither do I. The only reason we're doing this is because Roadrunner A-Go-Go has the beginning of the pilot in it. And Zip Zip Hooray has the kids in it. And that can take us into From A to ZZZ. And we have to put Zip Zip Hooray some. We have to put To Beep or Not To Beep somewhere, so it just goes at the end.
Yeah.
That's it. We're literally taking the skeleton of the pilot and slotting them in that way.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but it's something.
I mean, it's more effort than the people who actually put together these episodes did in salvaging material from this pilot. Because there's shit that didn't need to be in cartoons from this. They could have just been the pilot only. That we're going to get into.
Yeah, we'll go into what this could have been. I assume somewhere in this. But I did watch the entirety of The Adventures of Roadrunner Pilot.
Okay.
So I will be bringing in like stuff that's done in the pilot. Because the pilot does have moments that were not put into any of these shorts.
Good, restraints.
Mostly, most... mostly involving the kids. Mm-hmm. There's a little more with the kids.
Really?
But in terms of... Yes. But in terms of a Roadrunner Y Coyote stuff, I think every single segment... Definitely every single segment of Roadrunner Y Coyote material used in this pilot is used in the three shorts.
Good.
So, yeah.
So that's what we're in for.
Strap in.
Okay.
Okay. So the opening sequence, Adventure Roadrunner, is actually really nice because it's the opening credits. It's just Chuck Jones drawings of Y Coyote and the Roadrunner. It's very nice. You know, it's a very nicely put together little credit sequence. And then we go into Roadrunner A Go-Go, which came out, cut together, on February 1st, 1965. Mm-hmm. Now, Jordan, I did not tell you to look up what happened on February 1st, 1965.
Yeah, you've been giggling about it ever since. I purposely stayed away from it.
Okay.
You have the element of surprise on your side. I don't know what's about
that. Okay. So... Usually when we do this, it's like something like crazy, like, oh my god.
Or like a dildo machine in Norway.
Exploded. No, so here's what happened on February 1st, 1965. Jordan, how up are you on your civil rights history of the 1960s?
Oh, was that the, was February 1st, was that the March on Washington?
You're close.
Okay.
You're close. It was Selma.
Oh, that was... Oh, shit. Okay. I was very close.
So, on that date, Martin Luther King Jr. and 700 demonstrators were arrested in Selma, Alabama. So, literally, civil rights history was made on the day this stupid Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote recut short came out.
You see, I was expecting something like silly. I was expecting, like some rock star's birthday, or like a bunch of people crashing in a bicycle race, or
it's actual it's just good legitimate news. History.
It's actual not good news because you don't want these people to get arrested.
Yeah, of course.
But it's actual history. That's some good shit right there. That's why we have this on this day section when we're doing these, because we want to come across
exactly.
This.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's really cool.
Yes. So, this short was directed by Chuck Jones, written by John Dunn.
John Dunn.
Yes. So, as we said, this short is a combination from the pilot of the opening and closing.
Yeah.
So... It's the reason that, I really think that's the reason the short organization was so just all over the place, but we will get into it.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that of the three, this is the latest one to go out, which means that
yes. There's
one later that went out before this that the Warner Brothers people thought, let's really get that out, which it's going to be interesting to get to that one.
All right. So, we began Roadrunner Go-Go with, what else? We watch a Wile E. Coyote cartoon, what do you expect? You expect to see Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner chasing each other with some hectic music. And we do get that. We do get Milt Franklin music, which we'll be really appreciative of, as the other two don't have that. So, we begin with an opening song.
Yep, Out on the Desert.
And sung by a lovely female choir at first. And then the Dad's Choir of America just comes in to sing the rest of it.
Out of the desert, early in the morning, see the new Roadrunner burning up the roads.
See the old coyote dreaming of his breakfast.
The sportsmen, they ain't.
No, they are not the sportsmen.
So... should we explain that the majority of this cartoon is just the anatomy of a single gag?
Yes. So, we have these quick Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner gags. And he he does a bit where he has a noose to, on the road. He's going to pull it, and then he fails, falls to the ground. A rock on top of him. He becomes an accordion. I think we've all seen the image of Warren Coyote as an accordion.
This is also a gag that would be used in To Beep or Not To Beep.
Yes.
Which, yeah. So a lot of this cartoon would also be reused in To Beep or Not To Beep. But.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Sure.
Hey, at least this is environmentally friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And. After this gag, we get sort of the conceit of the pilot, which is Wile E. Coyote showing us a photographic record of all of his wipeouts, you know, speaking like his Operation Rabbit characterization. And his rationalization is that he has cameras all over the desert, and he has lots of different pictures of this. It goes on a little long, but I do love the shot of the pissed off turtle. Just sort of going,
argh. Yes. Yes. But what I don't like is close-up shots, and it's just a camera dressed up as a Native American.
Yeah.
Not okay.
No.
Not okay.
An unintentional theme of this episode. But as we soon learn with what Wile E. Coyote is explaining to us, two-thirds of this cartoon is really just analysis of how that first gag went wrong. It is basically the Powerpuff Girls episode Monkey See, Doggy 2, but for the 60s.
Dogs, the biting, the dropping. Once more. The dogs, the biting, the dropping. Again, the dogs.
Okay, we got it!
Yes! And now you will get this!
Which, okay, it is kind of clever, you know, during the rewinding the Wycoonie gag, but... It's honestly, seeing the gag in reverse isn't quite as funny as when it's in forward motion.
Yeah, no, it's a bit too, like, I see what they're trying to do. Like how Wile E. Coyote is like, okay, I would have like a longer rope or a longer cliff surface. And he tries the gag again with all of this. And then immediately it means absolutely nothing because he's sort of taken out by a truck. Which means that it was all build up to nothing, which you really can't have in a 6-minute cartoon. In a whole special where you have a lot of trial and error, maybe. But it's very interesting for this cartoon to be based around just one gag and then paced like it's leading to a special that doesn't follow it.
Now, there is another gag where after this section where he has a plane grenade.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
He spins the plane, and the propeller just flies off, and he throws it, the plane bit goes, but the grenade is still right next to him, and then it blows
up.
That's
good.
That's good.
But it's odd that, like, the last 2 minutes of this are just regular gags, which feels really odd after so long was spent on the first gag. So it's really weirdly paced. And then we get a really familiar bow and arrow gag.
Yes. We have the bow and arrow gag. And then we get some catapult gags.
Uh-huh. Those would have already been used in To Beep or Not To Beep by this point.
They were used in the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner movie.
Exactly, yeah. But those were from To Beep or Not To Beep. And so this is the part of the special where it's Wile E. Coyote sort of detailing the catapult process like via like blueprints and shit. And it goes through it all, and then you know, like it's most of the sequence from To Beep or Not To Beep. The ending gag, I believe, is left out. The extended gag where it takes another like minute and a half, where it just flings it all across the desert. That's left out in favor of Wile E. Coyote limping back to the drawing board and then getting knocked out by the blueprints themselves launching a rock at him. And then we find out that it's the Roadrunner company blueprints and shit.
Yes. Yes. So what? So in this capital bit, this was the end of the pilot.
Yeah.
And they just shove it over here. And I believe, and in the pilot itself, they keep in the extended gag because it's 30 minutes. You have the time. So they show the full thing there.
Good.
And, no, it's, you know, that's a good thing. But, and then the short ends.
Yeah. When you pace it this miserably, then you can't just do that.
Yeah. And it's this. Also, it's so obviously like when they cut to the catapult stuff. Mm. It's such a hard.
Oh cut. Yeah, they're like, really hard
it's,
cuts.
It's a really hard cut. In fact, this cartoon is the only one that has its music like actually end.
Yeah.
Because we'll get into the other two where it kind of cuts off. It's
Like this just didn't work as a single cartoon. The pacing was completely off. It felt fragmented, like it couldn't support itself. And I know for a fact that several parts of this were done already in To Beep or Not to Beep, and better because it wasn't really weirdly paced. There are one or two good gags here, like one or two new, like the one new gag from the special that made it in here, the grenade one. That worked. And the opening gives it good character. But everything else feels like it does not fit here.
It's... I mean, I thought it was fine, you know, but again, I just don't like there's significantly... Because you spend so much time on that first gag, there's less gags in this.
Yeah.
It's not a gag a minute. It's like one gag. I think it's going to be like four gags.
Yeah, there's barely any.
And it sucks. I deal it. Yeah, so I got to deduct some points for that.
I deducted several.
So, I'm going to say a 2.5 out of 5.
A what point 5?
You know, it was 2.5.
Oh, I'm giving it a 1.5. I wasn't really very pleased with what this one did as a cartoon. I'm sure parts of, and I'm going to say this about the next one as well. I'm sure parts of this work in the special, in context, in a full 30-minute deal. But plucked into a 6-minute short when it was supposed from even longer source, this does not work for me. Even if some gags do, it just, it's, and if you think I'm losing it about this one,
jeez. All right, okay. So in the pilot itself, we have the opening bit where, you know, it's Riley talking to the camera, all that jazz. Except after the sequence, before the capital sequence, we actually cut to Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote on TV. And it's, you know, then there's two kids watching it. And, you know, and that's how we get into a Zip Zip Hooray.
Mm-hmm. And that was released on January the 1st, 1965. Not a great deal happened on this day in history. I believe the Afghanistan Democratic Party was established in Kabul. Other than that, not a lot else to report.
Any good movies in theaters?
Well, it was mostly just the end of 1964 movies. Movies like Hullabaloo, The Rounders, The Yellow Rolls Royce. A lot of, like, throwaway kind of movies. Not the cream of the crop of 1964. A lot of very much end of the year kind of let's get it out there kind of movies.
Yeah.
So, not really a lot to report from that day in history. But this is it's the same credits as the rest of the special. Chuck Jones, Maurice Noble, and Tom Ray are in charge of directing. Written by John Dunn, again. And, it's the second part of this.
And it's got some, it's still got the opening theme from The Adventures of Roadrunner, except it's played in a wacky opening music.
I'm not excited about this one.
Oh, no.
Because if you thought the last one didn't have many gags, this one barely has a gag in itself. Like, there's the opening gag, which is like the Roadrunner screwing with Wile E. Coyote behind the sign and just sort of sneaking up on him and scaring him before running away, which is at least kind of cleverly done.
Also, the speed sign is the Warner Brothers symbol. That was cute.
It was.
I liked it.
But after that, we just cut to the kids watching this on TV. Which, first of all, would have been very odd if you watched this cartoon in theaters. Like,
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, they had to cut this up for theatrical release. You go to the theater, and you're just being told to go and watch this on TV again. Like the theater goers in 1965 going, am I doing this wrong? What have I done?
Like I'm here to see a B-movie dog movie, and I'm being shown, because, okay, this one, I think more than the next cartoon here, makes it blatantly clear this was a TV pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we live in an age where I don't think they do this anymore. I think maybe the late 80s, early 90s was the last time that TV networks would be like, well, we didn't put up the show for pilot. Oh, we can air it as like a summer movie.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. We don't have these anymore. We especially don't have them in theaters. Because you're showing the general public a failure. Mm-hmm. You know, people paid money to see this movie, and you're beginning it by showing them, yes, a cartoon, but something you didn't feel was good enough to make it to a show.
Warner Brothers doesn't know a thing about showing the public a failure. Oh, what's that? Zack Snyder, sure. Justice League? Oh, we'll be with you in a second. Shut up, you know I'm right.
but we... A lot of this cartoon focuses on just these little weirdly paced exchanges between these two boys. They're trying to ape Charlie Brown even before Charlie Brown was a real thing. But it's just the pauses between these lines of dialogue, the sort of very like weird pacing of them. I mean, some of these lines are pretty cool. Like one of the kids is like, I just want him for once to catch the Roadrunner. And then the other one goes, if he caught it, there wouldn't be any more Roadrunner. Which, you know, it's kind of meta. It's kind of Chuck Jones basically saying, you know, to everybody who's everyone, why doesn't he ever kill him? Why doesn't he ever catch him? So that's kind of interesting. And then because this is a cover for a commercial break from the actual pilot. And so they make their own commercial break, which is like what they're watching on TV, which is an Acme-branded Batman suit, which is the Batman outfit gag from Gee Whiz. And there are clever bits in here, like the Acme branding of the only Batman outfit worn by bats. That's kind of funny.
Yes.
But it mm-hmm. seems like filler.
But that's it. Also, think about this for a second. We cut to footage from G-Wiz, so we're watching a section from a pilot that was cut together to make a short that has a section from a previous cartoon. Think about that for 5 minutes. Tell me you don't want to just walk into the ocean.
It's a 6-minute cartoon that needs filler. What are they doing? I don't understand why we have to stay with these kids for so long. Which,
yeah, isn't this just enthralling?
For the record,
isn't the kids show?
Mark, for the record, the phrase right. "I don't understand why we have to stay with these kids for so long" is actually the name of John Gosselin's autobiography. I mean, yes, they didn't want this footage to completely sit there, but a Wile E. Coyote cartoon that's more about kids watching Wile E. Coyote cartoons than actual gag work. Why?
Also, my favorite thing, and I think we're going to go into this, is so one of the kids is a model after Ralph Phillips.
Uh-huh.
And the kid's predicament is that he imagines himself to be the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
And he says, as an impression of the Roadrunner, meet Meep Meep Zip Tang.
He doesn't say Zip Tang.
Okay.
I mean, the Roadrunner doesn't.
Yeah. The Roadrunner doesn't say Zip Tang. Like, he's just enunciating the sound effects that's used. But who does that in a Roadrunner impression? You go beep beep or meep meep. No one says the sound effects. You don't need it.
To paraphrase Michael Bluth, has anyone in this family ever even seen a Roadrunner? Cuckoo-ca-cha! Cuckoo-ca-cha!
Also, it's just not well edited, because...
No, it's not.
In the pilot, they're talking about this, and the kid decides, you know what? I want to be a psychiatrist when I grow up, and he says the word wrong, whatever. So... I'm going to take you to the couch so we can talk about your daydreaming.
Mm.
And that gets into the next short, which we'll get there soon. But they cut that because we're not going to be, because this is a 6-minute cooking by itself. So we just kind of hard cut to the end, to after the from A to ZZZ section.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of hard cut to them. Talking some more,
and basically, asking out loud why the coyote wants to eat the Roadrunner, and coyote basically breaks the fourth wall to tell them. And there are some interesting gags, in Wiley explaining the nutritional properties of Roadrunner, but this is something that works better in a full special, not in a 6-minute cartoon. This is a lot of explaining jokes. It's not really gags. It's just Wile E. Coyote talking for a couple of minutes. And this is still very much paced like a special, not a cartoon. There's barely any gag work going on in here.
Yeah, you know, and there's some nice things. He has IQ of 207. Mm. He's a super genius. And I do like that bit where he just goes through, like, here's the nutritional value of the Roadrunner. It's asparagus. And this section is like pudding.
But he really goes down them one by one, as if we can't read.
Yes. Wiley gets to chop suey, and he says it not racist. Thank God.
Wait. Does he get to chop suey, and does he start singing the System of a Down song? That's a cartoon I want to see. I want to see a cartoon where all of a sudden... You just it's the middle of a chase sequence between Roadrunner and Coyote, and Coyote just starts and just goes, wake up, wake up, Roadrunner should put a little makeup, have the sense to fade away the shake-up, why'd you leave the keys up on the table? And starring Serge Tankian as Wile E. Coyote.
So, he goes, again, he talks some more, he goes over, like, what else, it's so funny, he talks about, no, the Roadrunner has all these nutritional values.
Yeah.
Also, the Roadrunner can also be... We kind of repeat the gag again, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes through a book of, like, Roadrunner, like, what the Roadrunner could be cooked with. And I did like diced Roadrunner served on a roulette wheel.
Yeah, that was at least a good one.
That was a good gag. And, of course, the last one's like, Roadrunner surprise. And, of course, that's where the Roadrunner... Yeah. Shows up.
It's a very tacked on ending.
Yeah, because the music doesn't fade. Because that's not the end. Because after that sequence, we got more. We got the catapult section.
Yeah.
So it just kind of stops.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just hard cut to the end music. Oh, also, we didn't mention this. These are technically the Patty Freeling shorts.
Uh-huh.
It's a witch in the Cali, because these are Chuck Jones shorts, but they're under the Patty Freeling era. Yeah. It's
they're all produced by the Patty.
Yeah.
So, damn it, that was even worse than the last one. There were barely any Roadrunner gags. All of the Roadrunner gags were just the Roadrunner scaring the coyote. That's not a Roadrunner gag. That's just... You putting one in that we've been deprived of what makes these cartoons great. There's too much explaining and talking. The most The most inconsequential part of the special made into a 6-minute cartoon. Who would find this interesting? Who would stand up in the theater and go, I like this, I want to see more like it? Who goes to a Roadrunner cartoon and wants to see two boys talking for 3 fucking minutes? Who thinks this is a good idea for a Roadrunner cartoon? Jock doesn't, Frizz doesn't, no one does. What do you think?
Yeah, this sucks. Okay.
A man of many words.
First of all, yes, this sucks. All right, the title's called Zip Zip Hooray, right? It's like, first of all, what the fuck's that even mean?
I don't know.
The runner doesn't, what's that mean? This show could have...
There's no zip, there's no hooray. I didn't go hooray while watching this, that's for damn sure.
No.
I went, what the fuck?
That should have been the title.
Well, what the fuck, yeah.
What the fuck, just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, what the fuck? Written by, who's responsible for this?
Directed by Alan Smithy.
Yes.
Anyway,
it's
not good, folks. It's not good. And I'll say it again. Maybe this works a little better in the context of the special. But isolated as its own 6-minute cartoon, this is not good. Not remotely.
I mean, you are correct. This isn't a good short because this wasn't originally a short.
No.
This is just, once again, they took two bridging halves of this section of the pilot and squished it together to make a short.
Without any gags. No gags.
No gags. And I know what you could be thinking, but Mark, you said that they didn't put everything from the pilot into the short. Is the stuff they cut out without been better? No, because you know what they cut out? More kids talking.
Fucking hell.
There's a bit of a gag, and we'll go into it in like 30 seconds, but it's just, no.
No.
It doesn't work.
No.
Look, again, it just doesn't work. It does not work.
No. 1 out of 5. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, same. I can't get consciousness.
No.
So, in the pilot.
The mighty pilot.
We have the first half
the
of...
The lion sleeps in...
What?
You went in the pilot. And I went, the mighty pilot. The lion sleeps in...
In the pilot, the mighty... I can't say...
This fucking sucks. Anyway.
Alright. So...
I'm on my way.
Don't maybe put Timon from The Lion King in this.
Oh, God.
In the jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. All right, so, in the original production of this, it was, they watch TV, they'd see a coyote talking to them, and then... Again, the boy says, you know, because you love impersonating the Roadrunner, I want to be a psychiatrist when I grow up. Let's go to the couch and you can tell me where it's all started from, why you do these daydreams of being the Roadrunner. And while he's doing this, all Ralph is saying is, meep meep, bang, bang, zip, where the fuck is it? I don't know. So... This is how we get into from A to Z, 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 Z.
I've just been calling it from A to Z's.
That's actually better. From A to Z's. When did this come out first?
This came out on October 6th of 1954. Another day where there wasn't a great deal going on. Not a lot of famous birthdays, not a lot of famous events. For some reason, Michael Curtiz's White Christmas was out in theaters on this day. It's a couple of months too early. But, you know, it's the famous Irving Berlin one.
A bit. And you may be thinking, guys, why are you covering a non-Roadrunner short here? Well, the pilot did, so goddamn it, so are we.
Yeah. And also because, like Roadrunner and Coyote, this is also a Chuck Jones, Michael Maltese joint venture.
Yes, it is. And unlike a lot of things in this pilot and the presentation of it, this is the complete unedited short.
Good.
Which, as we're going to learn in about a couple of minutes, maybe some things are best left edited.
Maybe. Yeah.
A bit. Now, can I rant? Should I rant now or wait till we're done? About the short.
About which part?
The availability of it.
You can do it now.
Okay. So, again, we're putting this in together. And like, okay, when we watch these shorts, we go for official first. Now, we look at our Golden Lash DVDs or HBO Max. We go to other sites. You know the ones.
Yeah.
Some safe ones. That's just like cartoon sites or whatever. We've done over 50 episodes. 9 out of 10 times, we're able to find the shorts we're watching for the show every week.
Yeah.
For some reason, this short is not easily accessible online. It's not on HBO Max. It's not on a Golden Collection. Now, they didn't release it on a Golden Collection. And, okay, that's fine, you know. But what kills me is, first of all, this is a short a lot of people like.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people hold it in high regard. It's an Academy Award nominee.
Yeah.
Like, it's got some merit. It's not some sort of throwaway short that nobody gives a hoot about. For some reason, in the early 2000s history of the Golden Collection releases, they never released this one.
No.
What they did do, actually, was Ralph Phillips had he only appeared in two shorts. It was this one and Childhood Days. For some reason, for the sixth Golden Collection release, they put a Ralph Phillips short on there as a bonus cartoon. That's fine. Jordan, if I knew there was a character that had an Academy Award nominated short and I knew I haven't put it publicly on a DVD yet, which one would I choose? The Academy Award nominated one or the lesser known sequel?
Well, if you're a sensible person, you'd put the Academy Award winning one on. But Warner Brothers was not sensible people by the time the sixth Golden Collection was being prepped.
No. No one was. Because on the sixth volume, they put Boyhood Days. Mm-hmm. Now, I've nothing against Boyhood Days. I don't think I've seen Boyhood Days.
Sorry.
But, you know, it's probably fine. So I know what you're thinking. What, did they just never release this short ever? Like, no, they did. On the Looney Tunes Platinum Collection, which was the sequel series to the Golden Collection.
For Blu-ray.
Yeah, a Blu-ray. The problem with that one was that it's a lot of the Golden Collection shorts put onto Blu-ray for the first time. It was a push with Looney Tunes on Blu-ray. Problem is, if you're someone like us, who have a good assortment of the Golden Collections, or just home media in general, you already own 99% of what's on that first Platinum Collection, because there's only 7 cartoons on there that haven't been previously released, including From A to Z's. And for some ungodly reason, no one in the entire world thought, I should probably use this DVD to put some of it online so that other people could watch it. Maybe a podcast really wants to watch this cartoon to talk about it.
Yeah. Although.
Because. Although.
No, although. This is technically on the second Golden Collection as part of the whole Roadrunner pilot. But it's not included separately, right, which is why we're infuriated.
So if you wanted to watch this, Jordan, if you wanted to watch this for this episode, you would have to go to your Golden Collection Volume 2 set, take out the second disc, pop it in.
Pray it still works after like 10, 15 years.
Exactly. Put it in there, select Adventures of Roadrunner, fast forward through, I don't know, 10 minutes, I think. It's not the beginning at all. It's right in the middle. It'll go all the way to watch from A to Z.
Or you could find it on like a Chinese fourth party site like we found it on.
Yeah, you could do that. So, listen, HBO Max. Listen, HBO Max, you're already on thin fucking ice about putting any of the 70s, 80s Looney Tunes films on your service. You can't even put From fucking A to Z on there. And I looked, you know, because, like, again, pretty good collection of shorts on HBO Max. This short ain't on there.
No.
It's not on any streaming. Just that legally. Not legally. And any streaming. We do not endorse illegally. We only endorse pirating if the original company does not make it easy to find it.
Right. Okay. And
so, yeah.
Also, are you done with the where is this rant?
Yeah. Just, you know, we were able to find the link, so we're able to watch it, and we're able to talk about it.
Yeah.
I just thought the audience would love to know the story about how it's so fucking hard to find an Academy Award-nominated short.
Yeah.
And yes, it's also on that Academy Award-nominated DVD.
Oh.
But again, if it's on home media, just like rip it and put it online and whatever.
By the way, we should mention, you know, this was nominated for Best Animated Short at the 1954 Oscars.
It was.
Up against two Disney shorts and two UPA shorts. Now, typically, when number of studios like split the vote with two different, usually the one that only has one nominee wins, but not in this case, because this actually lost to one of the Disney shorts, which was called Toot, Whistle, Plunk, and Boom, which is coincidentally what happens whenever I have curry. But yeah, no, that was nominated for an Oscar. I think it deserves it for the most part. But we'll get into it.
So, we begin with the classroom.
Yes.
And, you know, they're talking, they're doing math. You know, they're doing their multiplication tables. And we just cut to this boy lovingly looking out the window, looking at a bluebird. And the bluebird lovingly transforms into Ralph.
Yeah.
And Ralph's just daydreaming and he's flying and away from school.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the teacher, you know, snaps him out of it, like, Ralph, what are you doing? Are you paying attention? And, like, go answer the question on the whiteboard. And it's this incredibly long math.
I love this. And this really just factors into how abstract this cartoon is. Because it uses wild ideas and creativity as a way of, you know, giving us these sort of daydream sequences. And they're all very well animated, very creative.
Yeah.
Have thought it baked into them without questioning the intelligence of the audience. Even something as similar as the numbers on the blackboard laughing at Ralph is really well done.
Yeah. The Ralph's imagination becoming so enamored within himself, mm-hmm. he starts acting out a sort by with letters.
I love that.
Using whatnot. It's so creative. The image of Ralph as a chalk drawing gave me some, like, I mean, you're way more of a fan of them than I am, but it gave me some, like, Calvin and Hobbes energy.
Yes, definitely. Like, using the D and Y as a bow and arrow. Lots of really creative gags here. And what am I to make of Ralph miming firing a gun in front of a class of students? I mean, now I kind of guess why this wasn't on a Golden Collection properly, especially considering the Golden Collections were happening a few years removed from Columbine. Not a good look.
Honestly, it didn't even occurred to me.
Yeah. Well, it occurred to me a little.
It definitely occurred to me in this next section.
Uh huh. Oh, yeah. That occurred to me as well. Because we, and this is actually really cool because as Ralph is asked to put a letter out into the mailbox, his voyage to the mailbox becomes a whole Western scene with him on a horse. And he's being followed by racist depictions of Native Americans. Not very well done at all.
Yeah, and also, like, in watching this, like, I'll watch the cowboy section. But first half is I'm watching this, I'm like, this is nice. This is a charming, nice little cartoon. And then the racism comes in and just, oh no! No!
Damn it, 1950s.
Especially if Native Americans. Oh my god, this and Peter Pan, fuck.
Oh.
Such as the imagination of a boy in the 50s.
You know, like, racist boy in the 50s. It's
culture at that time, but yeah, not good.
But I do like that even in Ralph's Wild West daydream, he still drops off the letter like he was supposed to. Like, he's not completely incompetent in this. And then, again, it is racist, but the shot of Ralph firing back amidst the colorful arrows is beautiful. It really is. Especially as we dissolve to Ralph beaten, sort of, you know, with, like, arrows in him, sort of limping back to the classroom, making a statement there.
Yeah, and then we transition out of it to just Ralph just with his arm. I was like, yeah, he's just full on in imagination mode.
Mm-hmm.
I just love how we see him through the eye of a reality.
Yeah,
for his little moments.
Exactly.
I really like that,
and it is very similar to Calvin in Mrs. Wormwood's classroom. And then this next scene where the fish tank takes him into sort of like a naval rescue mission. I like the little lines of dialogues he has where he fits perfectly into the Navy scene and just acts like nothing's out of the ordinary. He's a little kid going down, taking his shirt off and diving into the water to take on the shark.
Yeah, I just love, even though I got a C in arithmetic,
yes.
You can't. I mean, you can.
That's you great. May. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Also, it's just when he dives under there, we just acknowledge how cinematic this sequence is.
Looks great.
Like, I was watching, like, this could be a movie. It's like, it was that good. The camera angles and the pacing and just the animation. I love the animation where Ralph, he saves the nurse. You know, signs says, thank you, Ralph.
Yeah.
As he, you know, swims up. And just the animation of the octopus arm going around his neck, and Ralph is pulled away and has this expression of like, oh no, I'm being pulled away. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Know, honestly, like these sequences remind me of the Ben Stiller Secret Life of Walter Mitty remake, which I actually really liked, where you just see, like, yes, I mean, he does go to these grand places in the movie, but it's also like he has these sort of imaginations and he has these sort of like wild escapes and things, and you know, you follow him, you like him, but you just also enjoy the scope of everything and how huge it all feels. And that's honestly, like, this cartoon feels like a precursor to some of that.
So then Ralph gets sent to the back of the room because he's just too off the handle with his imagination. And of course, because he's in the corner, that takes us into a wrestling motif.
Yeah.
And you know, he's against the ropes and he's just biting this big brute. And he easily wins because he's a child and it's like an adult man. And you know, and the winning bell is the school bell. He incorporates real life into his imagination, and the bell rings. And the teacher just goes, Ralph, don't you want to go home now? And, you know, Ralph does.
Dare you question Ralph, the imagination of a shepherd, Ed boy?
Yeah. So, Ralph, he walked back And then he props himself as a army general, yeah. As
MacArthur.
As he just goes right at the camera and says, "I shall return," and he indeed did for one short.
Yes,
but he did return.
Yeah.
So. Besides from the racism,
yeah.
Besides from the racism and the circumstances for us to watch this cartoon, this is very good.
Yes, it is.
This is very, very good.
Yeah,
it's an amusing little yarn. You know, I mean, more for its abstract animation and creativity than its pretty basic structure and occasional blanket cruelty by the teacher and students who laugh at him. But the animation, the really good creativity in here, that powers it further than just conceptually it could go. And it's just a really fun one. And it's obviously influential, even if it's, you know, barely accessible these days.
Yeah. I've given this a 4 out of 5 animals.
That's exactly what I'm giving it.
I have the point for playing racism. But besides that,
yeah,
pretty good.
Exactly.
So, in the scheme of the pilot, we end that, and the psychiatrist thinking, like, okay, how do you feel now? And Ralph's like, actually, I feel rather well. I don't feel like impersonating the Roadrunner no more. Then as soon as he says that, he goes, meep, beep, bang, twa, and then she immediately runs back to the TV.
Bang, turns twa?
Turns off watching the Roadrunner.
Twazuli?
No. No, we're not stealing bits from other podcasts.
Aw, man.
That's not nice.
You mean I can't lust for Sandra Bernhardt either?
No. No, you cannot.
You will be mine. No, no, not really. No, I'd like to stress that I have a girlfriend.
So, the psychiatrist boy just says, well, if you can't beat him, join him, essentially. And just goes, maybe it's a tang and runs the TV. And that's how we get our into the Roadrunner talking about, you know, the food, how to cook the Roadrunner. It's the end of the Zip Zip Hooray. It's that. And then, after the events of Zip Zip Hooray in the pilot, then we kind of go into To Beep or Not To Beep. Like, I don't know, you explain it, because it's
well, yeah, that's... To Beep or Not To Beep was really just the first cartoon that came out that compiled gags from this one. But it, because it was the first, it really just took most of the good gags from the special. And so there was enough to sort of be.
And also, yeah. Also, this is the only one that has the classic, because this was 63.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a Penny Feeling opening one. It's a Warner Brothers.
Yeah, short. I mean, this is technically the final, like, golden age Chuck Jones Roadrunner short.
Yeah.
So this was released, To Beep or Not To Beep, on December 28th, 1963, a full year before my mom would be born.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's awesome. On the charts this week in the UK, the number one song was I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. And
really?
Yeah, and the number two song was She Loves You by the Beatles. So the UK was doing great this week.
Wait, so there actually is crossover of classic Looney Tunes and the Beatles?
You're damn right.
Awesome!
Yeah.
Great, because that was the... I tweeted about this like months ago, how like... If the studio still for like one more year, we could have like Beatles jokes and Looney Tunes cartoons, and then you immediately shot that down.
I mean, did you want the vultures from Jungle Book caliber Beatle jokes? Because this is how you get that. Also, since we're talking about music chart things on December 28th, 1963, Merle Haggard also made his first appearance on the country music charts on this day. So that's pretty cool. Merle Haggard, country music legend. So yeah, this one has the same story credits as the others. You know, Chuck Jones, John Donne, the Iron Maltese.
Maltese has credit. You know, it's like I think Maltese has credit because they reuse shorts that Maltese wrote.
Yeah, I think that's a problem.
I don't think Maltese actually wrote anything for The Adventures of Roadrunner.
Yeah, but you never.
I think that was just Chuck and I don't know.
So
this short is special because this has nothing but catapult gags in this.
Well, not nothing but
it's a theme.
There are some other gags in this verse, though.
Oh, Andre, yeah, with the
guy. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so clearly we've seen this intro before, or rather it was reused because Zip Zip Hooray couldn't think of an ending gag, where it's just the coyote flipping through a cookbook, and then the Roadrunner sticking up behind him, surprising him,
yeah.
And then blowing him into a rock. That's our opening gag.
Yeah, it's literally a continuation.
Yeah.
We begin with a continuation.
Exactly. This opening gag we've also seen before, which is the, what was this?
It's the rope gag.
Yeah, it's the rope gag that was diagrammed in, the first one.
Except it just happens. There's no, Wile E. Coyote narration. It just happens.
Right.
We got a cactus bit.
Yeah, this proof of concept air question mark thing where he's chasing the Roadrunner. And he takes all the cactuses with him and parts of the road. Is a very proof of concept jag that would have opened the short if this were a normal short. Though I do like, it does get better as it goes on because I like the Roadrunner sucking the road and the cactuses forward and launching Wile E. downward by just sort of taking the bridge with him.
Now what's funny is that this segment, this actually is what started the pilot.
Oh,
so
cool.
they began with the cactus bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a setup, like, here's Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote, here's their bits, and yeah.
The best part of this is, you know, Wile E. landing with a little puff of smoke on the ground. Then another a cactus falling from the air right on him, and then we just see Wile E. come flying back up with a giant Mel Blanc yaw.
Which, we just heard that yell. That yell was in Clapbusters.
Right.
When Daffy is slammed through the building at the very end.
I knew it sounded familiar.
It's that yell. So, sure. Well, you know, we have connection to last week's episode.
Beautiful. Continuity.
Yay.
And we get some other gags here. There's a spring gag that I believe was in Bugs Bunny Roadrunner movie. And it works just as well here because it's literally just a spring in different parts of rocks, like just sort of throwing... Mm-hmm. Wile E. like a slinky through all of these different formations. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, they're good gags.
And then the
rest. Not saying that they're not.
Yeah, go.
Right, so sorry.
No.
I was saying, like, yeah, they're good gags. They're still good gags. It's just, I've seen them a lot.
Yeah, and this wrecking ball gag is also simple. You know, it's a good 5-6 second gag. It works. It's fine. And now the catapults. Which we've seen in Bugs Bunny Roadrunner movie, and were copied in Roadrunner A Go-Go. And
it was in the pilot.
Yeah, and look, these are still good gags when presented in tandem.
Exactly. Exactly.
When presented in context, it works. Especially with the very good final catapult gag, where he presses on it a million times, and then launches him for a good minute or so all around the desert. That works. Especially in the context of the last five very quick, like, catapult failures. That all works, and then it sort of brings us to a very quick ending with seeing the sort of Roadrunner manufacturing company on the catapult rather than on the,
Right.
On the board.
Blueprints.
On the schematic.
Which I am pretty sure that's the exact same ending as the, as that one.
Right.
I don't think it's the same scene, but it's just with different color palette. And the Roadrunner was colored in, you know, to make it look nice. So in terms of where this is in the pilot, so that last gag happened with the Roadrunner. And then they cut to the what would be the ending sequence to the show if you were picked up, in which Wile E. Coyote lives in his own little house. And as soon as the Dad's Choir of America comes in with out in the desert, The Roadrunner runs through his house while Coyote is sleeping.
Oh.
Which, that's not fair. That's not fair. He didn't even get up. He can't immediately. You know, and it's that chase. And the pilot concluded with the Roadrunner jumping into the film reel of the desert background, runs off, the end, and that's the end of the pilot. That's where it ends.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So to beep or not to beep, honestly, all of these gags feel pretty fresh when they're presented in context. Though what really dooms this cartoon is A, how many times a lot of these have been used either elsewhere or, you know, and the organization of it, that some gags would have been better in different order or some gags had already been repeated and didn't really need to be here in some factions, feeling like a mishmash of, you know, gags made for a special. Like, this is better than the other two from the special. And
right.
This does have great gag work and great stuff throughout, but it's still bogged down by its very piecemeal and, you know, cut and paste kind of sensibility in making it.
Yeah, I mean, I think something, again, something important as we reach the end here is that this is still really good Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote material.
Yes.
The gag work is great. The animation is really good, but it's just very repetitive, especially watching these three.
Yeah.
In the order, it didn't really do it justice because, you know, somebody first, but anyways, it's very repetitive. The same jokes in more than one of these. And I mean, look, the last Roadrunner centric episode we did, we looked at, like, highway runnery and shit. This is, say what we will about at least two of these shorts, it's better than that. That's the real question, Jordan. Okay. Zip Zip Hooray versus Highway Runnery. Which one does it worse?
Zip Zip Hooray. Because Highway Runnery actually had gags.
Not good gags, but gags nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So what's your Amber rating for the first line?
For to beep or not to beep, I give it a 3.5 out of 5. It's good enough substance-wise that it's better than the last.
Same. I'm also giving it a 3.5 out of 5. So, we aren't viewing this as a whole product, but do we see why this wasn't picked up? Like,
yeah.
What do you think was the factor? For me, I'm guessing it's money.
Yeah.
Because the special has way more new animation than the Bugs Bunny show.
Mm-hmm.
It has legitimate animation. It's not put together Scooby-Doo style or whatever. It's legit animation. So if I had to guess, it would probably be money. Like maybe like the money done for this pilot equals like 5 shorts they could have made or whatever.
Yeah. And also, I do think that it was like, the executives wanted a Roadrunner series, and instead they get two kids sitting on the TV psychoanalyzing each other for 10 minutes. And it's like, well, this is not what we asked for. And it sort of is, yeah. But this is not the best Roadrunner series that they could have come up with.
No. They did eventually later down the line do Roadrunner TV shows, but of course that's clip shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's here's some Roadrunner shorts. We'll throw in a Sylvester and Tweety cartoon. You know, it's stuff like that.
Chase cartoons. Yeah,
exactly. Also, you know, I want to give him credit for. I mean, okay, it's 62. This pilot came full color. By the way,
yeah.
I mean, it's in full color. So that could not have been cheap. Like, we're doing full Technicolor, Warner Brother animation quality animation for your television set, in which you're going to watch it on like a 14-inch screen and most likely black and white.
Right.
I don't quite know when color TV became the norm.
Me either.
Well, did you have any idea?
No.
I don't see her. Wait, hold on. I know this fact. Because the Batman the Batman series with Adam West.
Yeah.
That led to a lot of people getting Technicolor TVs. Yeah. Because it was a better experience than a black and white. So, so when that came out, yeah. Which was in 66. Okay, yeah. So I don't think this pilot or this series would have driven people to get color TVs. Maybe. I don't know. They had that full experience. So, yeah.
That was a lot.
That's the end of this. We hope you enjoyed it. this was stressful. I think this is the most stressful you've ever been.
Yeah.
Prepping an episode.
This is, hopefully you guys get shit out of it because I'm fried.
Yeah.
All right. Please tell me next week's is a bit lower maintenance.
Yes, it is. I looked it all up. You can find these easy. All right. So next week, we are doing shorts based off of the most popular literature character of action, Robin Hood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're doing Robin Hood shorts. We're doing two that everyone knows and one that made in the 30s.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah. All right. So the three we will be covering are Robin Hood Daffy,
mm-hmm.
a classic. Robin Hood Makes Good, a short that we have never seen before. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just saw an HBO Max randomly and went, oh, it's Robin Hood cartoon. Okay.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's probably a bad sign. And Rabbit Hood.
Of course. So we get a nice mix of characters we know and you know, one shots. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So tune in for that next week.
Yeah.
It won't be nearly as chaotic as this one, but
who knows? Maybe it'll be good.
Oh, well, that'd be so. Yeah. It would be amazing. Like I picked this random ass Robin Hood cartoon out of nothing. It's like, oh shit, we're 1939. Like just.
You never know.
Never know. All right. That's the end of this week's show. If you'd like to keep up with us on Twitter, you can follow me at MarkHallam1995.
And you can follow me at TallGuySchmidt.
If you'd like to keep up with the podcast or give your thoughts for next week's episode, you can follow at that_Looney or type in the podcast title. We are the first result.
You can also find our podcast wherever podcasts are readily available. That includes your Apple Podcasts, your Google Podcasts, your Spotify Podcasts, Player FM, Anchor, wherever, whenever, so on and so forth.
All right. So until next week, I'm Mark.
And I'm Jordan. Mark, you just finished one of the most stressful, intensive episodes we've had to do in the year that we've been doing this podcast. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to Disney World.
Damn right you are. We'll see you next week.
Literally. I literally am. Goodbye, everybody.